That's Entertainment Now, which means we're joined in studio by our two That's Entertainment people, which is, they are Michael Leddy. Hi, Michael.
Hi, Greg.
Good to have you on the show.
Great to be here.
How are you keeping? How was the week?
Good week.
Tell me why.
Not TV based, but just I met up with my family for the first time.
Oh, yeah, you were heading down.
Heading down for my brother's birthday, a big birthday, a landmark birthday, 50th. And we had a great weekend, and it was great to kind of catch up in person, which I haven't done in a long time.
And Fionnuala Rabbit, good morning to you. How are you keeping?
I'm keeping very well,
How
too.
How was your week?
My week was very good, now very busy. I was down at the Arts Festival, for the start of the Arts Festival down in Galway. Went to see Bedbound with...
when were you down there? You seem to have been here all the time. Are you sure you were actually down?
I was.
I'm on the road a lot.
Right.
Who was it? Cullum Meaney.
Mm.
Cullum Meaney and his daughter.
Yeah, but you could have read that on the internet. We still don't know there.
Oh, no, I believe you. It's an Ender Walsh play. And if anybody's gone to any of Ender Walsh's play, I'm still waking up in the middle of the night bamboozled trying to go, what was that about? What exactly was he trying to say?
Greg could be right. I was in Galway at the weekend and I didn't see Fionnuala down there, so...
Well, okay, well, we'll have to take your word for it. Okay,
100%.
So even Lee Gooch, and I want to see him as someone who really has his finger on the pulse, mentioned the Barbie movie, right? That starts tonight, does it?
Yes
today,
Why is there such a big hoo-ha about it? It's everywhere.
Yes, it is, big time.
They've done amazing press for it, first of all. Then, and I think that Barbie is just one of those things anyways, you know what I mean?
Yes.
If you think about Barbie as a whole, you've got so many of the different dolls, the lifestyle, the whole thing that goes with it. Then you have, I mean, apparently if you go down to certain clothing stores around Letterkenny and elsewhere, they are just chock-a-block full of Barbie clothing.
Stuff, yeah.
Then everything's good, dude.
I know where I'm heading at 12 o'clock.
I know. You need some pink in your life.
I do.
Might cut that one out of the edit.
The promotion of it as well has been fantastic. Margot Robbie and...
Ryan Gosling.
Is he the only actor that can actually sing and dance? Because it seems to be he's the go-to guy if you need someone to sing and dance.
Well, to be honest, I was deep in my looking forward to this before I realised there was songs in it. I didn't even realise this was a singing, that there actually was any songs in this, but it turns out I think there's only two or three. It's not like a big musical thing.
Hmm.
But yes, he is apparently, and I've never even seen that one, that Hollywood one. What was that? The one that he got the Oscar for?
Don't know. Sorry, I know you're.
I know.
Something Land.
La La Land.
La La Land.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I didn't see that.
Right. So this film, right, I don't know what happens in it, right? But from the trailer, they're all in a sort of the imaginary Barbie world.
Barbie world,
they
yeah.
all seem to be dragged into the real world. Is that...
Well, no, she's excluded, isn't it? Yeah.
No. Oh. No, what happens is... Boys, get on board with your Barbie. What happens
That's
is...
That's why we hire you.
What happens is that they're all living in Barbie land. Everybody's very happy out, the whole thing. Everything is lovely and perfect. And then Barbie has an existential crisis.
Hate when that happens.
And Barbie starts to wonder about life.
Mm.
What is it? What's the meaning of it? Why
good
am I
question.
Here?
Yes,
what's it all
question.
About? And as Barbie starts wondering more about life and our reasons for why we're here, she starts to lose some of her Barbie-ness. And then she's told that the only thing is that she can either just give up all of her thinking that she's doing, or she has to visit the real world. And then that's when it all kind of takes off, and I haven't even seen much of it after that because I've just seen bits of trailers and stuff and patched it all together with the interviews.
Reviews are good because I think the reason people are excited about it is because it's probably going to be very funny and very smart, and it seems like the director has
Greta Gershwin is very talented.
Yeah, good points to make, and
let's
is using
to,
Barbie.
Let's listen to even the trailer.
Yeah. And my heels are on the ground. To do.
You have to go
to the real world. You can go back to your regular life, or you can know the truth about the universe.
The choice is now yours.
All right, so it's a simple setup. We can hear from the clips there, isn't it, really?
It is, but what they
Which
do...
Which is sometimes the best films are the simple
Absolutely.
Setups.
Absolutely. Agreed.
Not a criticism.
Completely. Yeah. Yeah.
No, and I think that's what it is. And then because alongside Barbie then having her existential crisis, Ken is... What is Ken? Mm. What is Ken without Barbie? Who is Ken? So they're kind of combining this together.
Is it a little bit like Elf? Have they ripped Elf off?
I have a feeling. You might be right there. Mm. Kind of some of the trailers. It's that sort of a feeling about it. But it's apart, like any of the trailers that you see, it's beautiful. I mean, you yes. know, like the world that she's created, Greta Gerwig has created, everything about it. It just is supposed to be like the way it's shot and the look of it that I think that's part of the reason why a lot of people who would normally be kind of looking down their nose at the idea of a Barbie movie have really kind of gotten into it because, you know, they threw money at this problem and they made, you know, it looks fantastic. It's very slick. It's very colourful.
I wonder, is it going to be like, you know, the Ryan Reynolds movie that you love? Was it Free Guy? I missed out on that.
Where again? Yeah, that was very...
It looks more like Elf.
Yeah.
Fish out of water, fish, yeah, yeah. sort of type of stuff.
Yeah, yeah it yeah. does. But the Free Guy thing, the thing... Well, am I speaking on your behalf? But I think the thing with the Free Guy is like that it was that they took, you know, the Free Guy is about it being a non-player character. And that all of a sudden, so the look of the whole thing was very.
No, I get you. I,
you know, I was very. You were like in the middle of a game, you know the way.
All right.
And the look of this really looks like. So
and it seems like something fresh and different. But Barbie, I mean, I've been excited about Barbie since I first heard who was in it and what they were doing.
Because admit it, it's further back than that.
Yeah, but yeah, but it's no. I was very much an action man. Action man. I've action man. Helicopter. Action man. Jeep. Action man. Everything.
And then what's happening is. People are, I don't know if they're doing it locally, but they're planning these double ups where they're going to watch Barbie and then Oppenheimer.
Oppenheimer, yeah.
So
yeah.
I presume there's no connection other than they're both out at the same
time. It's a very clever, you know what it reminds me of? They've started marketing them together because they opened the same weekend and they're so polar opposites. Yeah. It reminds me of back in the 90s when there was a whole thing about Blur and Oasis and it was like a clever marketing thing. You know, there never was, when you read up on... Yeah, but it was like, there's never any animosity between the bands, really. It was just a marketing thing that came up with. So this is actually really clever. This idea of combining these two films that you wouldn't think have the same demographic appeal at all, unless you're a real film head, and making it a thing where they're linked. I think it's really smart.
So what's Oppenheimer about?
Oppenheimer's... I'm going to head to see that tomorrow night. That's, you know, Christopher Nolan, who does all those twisty-turny and those high... This is probably the most anticipated film of the summer that's not a sequel or part of a franchise. You know, it's not Mission Impossible. It's not Indiana Jones. And it's the true story of the creation of the atomic bomb. And it's a super long film. I've been reading reviews and trying to avoid spoilers because I'm very excited about it. But yes, it's super long and apparently super complex. Critics have raved about it, but even the positive reviews have said that it's not a perfect film. And we know, and we've talked about Nolan before, that sometimes he's too clever for his own good, and that can be off-putting. But nonetheless, I'm extremely excited about Oppenheimer, as well as Barbie. But I think it's exciting that there's this thing, as you said, Greg, where the two of them are linked.
Yeah, people going to Barbie and then into Oppenheimer.
Yeah,
Oppenheimer, you insist on calling him.
It is Oppenheimer.
I know. I know.
Also with Oppenheimer.
But I can't say it. I keep having to say Oppenheimer.
It's okay. That's fine. You can change the man's name if you like. The good other thing about Oppenheimer is that the...
Now you're bullying me.
We're just going to keep saying the name of the movie until you...
Which Oppenheimer? Oh yeah, Oppenheimer, yeah.
Oppenheimer.
I'll just watch Barbie.
Cillian Murphy stars in it. So Cillian Murphy is obviously...
There's a big cast in that too.
Robert Downey Jr.
It's massive. Robert Downey Jr.'s in it. Cillian Murphy's in it.
Matt Damon.
Matt Damon's in it. Emily Blunt is in it. There's loads of them.
Yeah.
There's a load of people in it. It's what it is about. It's about how when Oppenheimer left Germany, I'm almost sure that's where he left, but he fled the Nazis anyways and he got to America. They decided that they were going to be the first people to get the bomb and they created that town in Las Vegas, wherever, Nevada. Isn't that where it was? I think it was there.
That's almost,
I think it's out near Texas or
They found
Nevada,
a place that was...
Like that.
I was looking at it on a map, actually. I got caught up in a rabbit hole during the week. Yeah, it was distant from...
And we can continue. Like, this is a film that would really excite me, but then you talk about how it might be too twisty and turny and clever for its own good.
Maybe,
It sounds like a brilliant story, looks brilliant, brilliant actors. Yeah. I would hope it's... I'm still going to try and watch it.
I don't know how twisty and turny it could be. I mean,
it is
a factual story.
See, that's what confuses me about
So there's not too much that he can do with it. You know, what happened happened. Like, you can Google it. You know what I mean?
It's so a true story. Like
It's not like as if, and I mean, you know, like as I said to somebody the other day, you see any of the pictures of Cillian Murphy in it? And I was like, he's so thin in it. Mm. And I was like, he looks like as if he passed away from cancer. Yeah. And I said, which I assume is how he passed away, because he created the atomic bomb. Then basically, it's what it's about. It's all about all the people that were brought together to live in the town. Yep. So that's what they did. Was they created this town. Everybody lived in it until they finished the bomb. They couldn't go anywhere. But none of them realized the danger that they were putting their own personals, because it had never been done.
Yeah.
So there's that's the
they
kind
were
of
lab rats then, really.
Well, they were just
of the production of
were the ones that were lab rats, and they were also the scientists.
Yeah.
Because that's who it was. It was full of all these scientists.
And their families,
and all their families and everything like that. They just brought everybody there and they locked them all in and said, "That's it. Don't come out until you have this idea."
One thing about the film that is very, because the trailer is visually stunning. I mean, but there's no CGI in this film. Nothing. None of the shots. Because they blew things up. They really did. That's what Nolan can do. He's at this stage where he can do stuff. There's nothing.
Let's listen to a bit of the trailer here.
Yeah.
This is a national emergency.
Detonator charged.
And on it goes. It's very dark, very moody. People
we're in a race against the Nazis. And I know what it means. If the Nazis have a bomb.
They have a 12-month head start.
18.
How could you possibly
know
that?
So you can see how it's being framed, and it's quite modern too, in its own little way too, with what's going on in the world.
Oh, of course it is,
Sorry, Fanuta, what were you going to say there?
Well, as you can tell in there, Cillian Murphy's very intense. He's an amazing actor, but he's an intense... intense actor. But I think the other thing is, I think people should give this a try as well, because there hasn't been as much... Like, if you look at the Barbie thing, it's absolutely everywhere in terms of marketing and the press and the way they've done it. There's been much less press with this. And then... The night of the premiere, none of them went to the premiere because it was the night of the strike. Mm. So there hasn't really been much press, since then. Mm-hmm. So I think people, you know, you're kind of getting it from critics and people who've seen it, rather than you know listening to the actors and sort of getting an idea of where they were going with it, or even what Christopher Nolan's thoughts were and plans with it. So. I'm very excited to see it now.
All right, that's two big films coming out this weekend, Barbie and Oppenheimer. If you're watching any of those, let us know. 086 60 25,000. What are you looking forward to? I think a lot of people will dress up for the Barbie one, be even the cap or something in pink, whatever. People have a bit of fun with that. Did either of you in recent weeks mention Hijack? Idris Elba?
You mentioned it last week. I tried, I couldn't.
I want to see it.
I watched the first episode last night.
Oh. And?
It was all right. Like, it seems...
It's real time.
I don't know. I'm not really in the first episode. I certainly didn't get that impression.
Oh, okay.
I think it's 7 or 8 episodes, which is 7 or 8 hours, and the flight from Dubai to London is 7 or 8 hours. I don't think they're doing it like that. Okay. That's not the impression I got, that it was real time.
Okay.
I wouldn't say it's like 24, and I wouldn't. I would get 24 out of your mouth when talking about Hijack, to be honest with you. But it's okay. Like it's.
Will you? You will continue.
I will. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Like the first.
And he's a businessman who gets caught up. It's Passenger 50.
No, there's not that much given away in the first. We just learn, and you can learn from the setup. Textually, is that he is, as far as we're aware, is a negotiator. He goes in when companies are acquiring another company, and then all the staff kick off. That he goes in and sorts it out, I think.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
But it, as I say, there's not an awful lot in the first episode, other than
it's all set up.
This could be quite interesting. So I'll watch another couple to see how we get on.
Okay, I'll be interested because I want to see that, and I came very close one night, and then I was like,
I actually went in as far as it. And then I just went, no, I can't.
Yeah, well,
I just left it too late. I was like, I need to watch a couple of episodes. And then it was like, it was 10 o'clock.
Is it a British production? It feels very British to me.
I don't know.
Oh, right.
He's got relationship issues. And
I hate to say it, I'm not a big Idris fan.
See, I think it's great. There's nothing I've seen him in that I didn't enjoy.
I've always liked him, yeah. Right from...
Oh, my God. Did you watch the Luther movie?
Yeah,
he was pushing it there.
Yeah, but you kind of thought like it was okay, though. You thought the film was okay.
Well, I know, but Luther...
Luther, the movie, was
compared
silly.
To the TV program, yeah. it was silly. And did you ever see he did a comedy, half-hour comedy thing, where he was like, it was like session kind of
Yeah, but
like
he was
this,
in The Wire.
Yeah, I know. That was 20 years ago. More than 20 years ago now. Yeah,
in fairness, there's another film that's just come up on Netflix, and he was pretty crap in that as well.
I know. He's done a couple of comedy things.
Very one-dimensional in Luther, even though it's not
Before The Wire, he was a vampire hunter in a Channel 4 series called Ultra Violet, and it was just the business, and he was the business.
He's done two good shows.
Yeah.
All right. If you've watched
in a 50-year career,
if you watched Hijack, 086 60 25,000. Right, we're gonna have more from Michael and Finna after we take our first break of the hour. Stay right where you are. Yeah, it's Club Tropicana from Wham. Say what?
Tell me you watched it.
No, not yet. Let me take you to the place where memberships are smart. So, Wham's on Netflix. I did hear a clip of it, and there seems to be some great audio and stuff in it. And obviously, with, I can't remember the man's name.
George Michael.
George Michael passing on. Obviously, it's going to be probably quite upsetting for some, is it? I don't know. Talk to us about Wham, the documentary on Netflix.
Well, I'm kind of going through a bit of a nostalgia thing when it comes to that kind of thing. I miss the 80s. I've done since 2 seconds after... The clock struck from 1990. The 80s were the bomb, really, in all fairness. We've let ourselves down significantly since then in every article of between clothing, music, movie, everything. So it's my peak era. I loved it. I've watched recently, there's a documentary on Sky about Aha, and then all of a sudden Wham came out. Very exciting. So this documentary goes right back to the beginning of George Michael's career. It is totally based, actually it's really nicely done. It's completely based on kind of interviews and then there's like voiceovers. But it seems like, to be honest, I don't understand how they've done it because it's like as if it's something that they must have been planning pre-George Michael's passing because it is him speaking, but you never see him in his now. It's all like clips. Of when they were young,
it's been really well produced then by the sounds of things.
It's just amazing. Yeah. And a lot of the focus, obviously, is with regard to Andrew Ridgeley, which I have to say, when I sat down to watch it, I'd kind of forgotten a lot of Andrew Ridgeley's impact and what his thing is. You know, if you were to say kind of off the top of your head, why did Wham break up? You're like, oh, Andrew Ridgeley was in the papers a lot. He was supposed to be like, you know, out womanizing, there's possibility of doing drugs. You know, there was all that kind of like... press attention around him to sort of say that kind of thing. It turns out that I'm in love with Andrew Ridgeley. He's awesome. I know it's easy for me to fall in love with people, but this is it. Andrew Ridgeley's mother is an amazing human being. So when Andrew and Michael met, Michael was not called Michael. He went by, which I won't even attempt to pronounce, his original and real name, which is a Greek name. He came from a very quiet Greek family. The father's father was a goat herder somewhere in Greece. And then the father, I think, ran restaurants and he became very successful. And they moved to this very nice kind of, middle class kind of area in London. You know, not very wealthy, but not very poor. Andrew, George Michael then met Andrew Ridgeley in school. At the time, Andrew Ridgeley was told to show the new kid around the school. And Wham was born.
Wow, okay.
Ridgeley was the cocky, confident, cute, you know, really attractive. Everybody was mad about him, kind of, you know, got a little bit of a bad boy, as in got into trouble in school now, not in any major way, but that kind, you know, that kind of a bad boy in your national school.
That's the cool kind of way, probably, really. Yeah.
That's sort of a, like, you know, the bad boy of the national school.
Leather jacket with tassels.
That kind of a thing, exactly. And went up through secondary school then as well.
A tomahawk bike, yeah.
They went up through secondary school. George Michael's father didn't like them even hanging out together. He told George Michael that he couldn't sing, so it was ridiculous that he was trying to become a musician, and that he should go back to school and become an accountant. So they were. It's all about kind of their childhood friendship, how it went along. It goes into a lot of, like, you know, private moments that they had. If anybody else remembers Wham, their singers were Pepsi and Shirley.
That's right, yeah.
Andrew originally went, when they were teenagers, Andrew and Shirley were boyfriend and girlfriend when they were like 14, 15. And that's how she became part of the band when they set up the band. And then they just were friends all through their lives.
All the best documentary have access to great audio and video. You know, well, not talking heads, no... shame in that, don't get me wrong, but yeah, it's good source material. Well, this clearly has very good source material.
This is all, and it's all basically what it is kind of based loosely around is Andrew Rees's mother, as I said, awesome lady. The day that her son, obviously very happy and proud of her son, the day that they started up their bands, she started videoing a scrapbook.
All right, okay.
Now, she started a scrapbook, and by the time Wham finished 3 years later, she had 40 scrapbooks. And basically what it does is it's kind of like loosely follows the scrapbooks that Andrew Ridgely's mother put together.
What is Andrew Ridgely doing now? Is he alive?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh my God, he looks awesome. Right. He's alive. I obviously Googled him. He's alive. He still gets money from Careless Whispers. Mm. He also was involved in the writing of the Christmas one.
Last Christmas, yeah.
Last Christmas, but that money goes to Live Aid.
Does it?
They gave that at the Christmas that they put that song out was the same. They were convinced they were going to have a Christmas number one. They were so excited about it, and then Bob Geldof and Midge stuck their oar in and and decided that they wanted to save millions and millions of African people and not give George Michael his Christmas number one. So what they actually donated the proceeds for life forever. Of
my word.
Christmas. So he doesn't get...
Is he skinned though?
No, he's got like about... Well, according to the internet, he has 40 million, which obviously made him even more attractive. Okay. So
it helps.
But sure, he had his own solo albums and he had a solo career in other parts of the world. Right, and
He raced cars?
He did. We did race cars initially when he first came out of it.
Wow.
But you know what it is? It's random. His humility and his...
I think you really have fallen in love with this.
I think so too.
I'm telling you, watch the documentary and walk away. Everybody kept saying to me, because we were like going, we never really paid any attention to him back in the day.
Yeah.
You know the way he's in, he was kind of, and like he was the band. And then initially he was Wham. It was his idea to set up Wham. It was his idea of the name.
How did he deal then with with him not being the face of the band or not being perceived?
That is what's amazing about it. That's why people should watch it. Just to see how the level of you forget as well at the time when Wham was going on, these two guys were only like 23, 24. Like it was 19 when they first kind of they'd other bands in the past, but when they officially became Wham and they officially started to get a bit of notice. So like by the time it ended, they were only like about 24, 25. And you come to realize that without Andrew Ridgely and Wham, there would never have been George Michael.
Yeah.
And it's almost like watching the birth of George Michael. You know what I mean?
As interesting.
In how his persona came on, how he ended it, the good and the bad, how different things happened along the way.
I think
it's really good.
Michael, it'd be an advantage to be a Wham fan or have an interest in it, but it sounds to me like an interesting story, even if you're not.
Yeah, it does sound interesting. My interest in Wham would be less than zero, to be honest. But I did like George Michael and his solo albums, and I would have collected those and I would have listened to them, and I thought
that's
very
your ignorance, you see, because they wouldn't have existed
without Andrew Ridgely.
Andrew Ridgely, as Phil's quite rightly pointed out.
I must send, I presume it's on YouTube. I'm a big fan of an English band from about 20 years ago called Black Box Recorder, Sarah Nixie and the band, and they have a song about Andrew Ridgely and how amazing Andrew Ridgely was. I'm going to send it to you for now.
Nice,
I'm sure it's on
to remember. It's a comedy song though, isn't it?
No. I know, it's like a love ballad. It's a bit OTT, but Sarah writes it and she referenced herself in the song as like, that was the one I was in love with. I was always in love with Andrew Ridgely.
Well, no, it's okay.
Everybody's in love with him after watching
Fionnuala will be singing it next Friday. I'll send it to you after. I presume it's up there.
We'll be back with a review from Michael after these messages. Okay, you're welcome back to the programme. Michael Leddy, writer and blogger. Why are we still talking about Quantum Leap on Paramount Plus? I feel like we keep jumping back to a time where you want to talk
Quantum Leap, the new series, started last week. It dropped on Paramount Plus, and there are 18 episodes of this new And it's not a reboot. It's a continuation of the original beloved 1990s series. Mm. It was a very pivotal show in the early 1990s because back at that point, we didn't have very much sci-fi TV. We had Star Trek The Next Generation. We had Quantum Leap. And the two of those shows were the only game in town. They were both great. And they opened the door because by the mid-90s, you had X-Files, Sliders, Xena, Deep Space Nine, Babylon 5, and a score of other shows. But it all started with Quantum Leap and, of course, Star Trek The Next Generation. It's a beloved show for those who missed it back then, and there can't have been very many. It was about a time-travelling scientist with a heart of gold who was helping people. Many times over the last 30 years, there was talk of bringing it back, and NBC finally brought it back. And as I say, the show is now over here on Paramount Plus. I don't know if they're dropping one episode a week or what way they're doing it. Probably, it doesn't matter. But I've seen the 18 episodes of the season. And the question that I get asked a lot from, because a lot of people really loved this show and remember it very fondly, is this as good as the original? And for my money, it hits the mark about half of the time. Out of the 18 episodes, was 7 episodes I thought were very good. It was a bounty hunter episode, a runaway teenager episode.
It's done very differently, is it not? It's all in modern times and
Well, it's still time travel.
He's got a partner in crime?
It's still time travelling. He's time travelling from 2022 when it starts, and then somehow it's become 2023 by the end, but they don't really address that in the show. And one of the changes they have this time is a much larger cast. The original series was 2 regulars and loads of guest stars. They've made the decision this time, which I don't like, to have a tech team who are always watching what he's doing and talking about what he's doing. And in the early episodes, that was a turnoff for me. And for me, the better episodes are later in the season. I think they figured it out by the time they got to the second half of the season. But the early episodes have a lot of people talking about what Ben is doing. Ben is the new scientist. And I have to say, Ben's a lovely guy and he has a heart of gold and you do empathise with him and like him. But yeah, in the early episodes, so anyone who's watching it from the start might be unimpressed with the early episodes, as I was, because it's a lot, you know, you want a story when you turn on TV for 45 minutes. You don't want people talking about the story, which is what they tended to do. And I can understand financially why that works, because it's cheaper to have standing sets and to have a day or 2 days of a week where you're not on location.
Yeah, but I'm a viewer. I'm not interested.
Yeah, you're
in
not. Exactly. Yeah. And I'm the same as that.
So I don't mean I'm not interested in you talking about it.
No, I know what you mean.
I'm not going to make those passes.
I agree with you. Yeah, I mean, and that's a battle that TV networks have fought with creators going back decades. I mean, The Incredible Hulk is one that leaps to mind. The network put pressure on those, on Kenny Johnson, to make Banner, who was on the run, have a mobile home and a partner, and they could then film 1 or 2 days on the standing sets, and they would save loads of money. And Johnson correctly wouldn't do that and shot them down on it, and eventually the show ended because it was expensive, not because it wasn't a ratings hit, because the show was a massive ratings hit. So the new Quantum Leap first season is out over here. Season 2 is being commissioned. I understand, I found this out last night, they went right into the filming of season 2 at the end of season 1, so it's one of the few American shows that will be back in America come October. It won't be affected by the strike. Strikes, because there's 2 strikes, and because it filmed a lot of episodes ahead of the strikes. So it's a good show, which occasionally, but half the time, hits the heights of the original. He's a time-travelling scientist. He's lost in time. Every episode is focused on the 90s, the 80s, the 70s. And it's always, it's small. The thing about Quantum Leap originally was that it wasn't like TV shows like Doctor Who or Time Tunnel, where it wasn't that he was trying to necessarily prevent the end of the world or something big. He might leap into a family, a member of a family who runs a restaurant. And that's one of the best episodes of the season. They run a Chinese restaurant. The family, the restaurant's going to go under. The family is going to split apart. And all he has to do is keep that family together. And that was one of the best episodes of the season for me. If they had spun that Chinese family off, I would have kept with them. It really made me care about them. There was a bounty hunter episode that was really good. There was an episode on a Navy ship that was good. Mm. There was episodes that fell apart. There was a Halloween episode that was terrible.
What would you give it out of 10?
I'd give it a solid 8.
Okay.
Because the heart...
That's Taylor Swift there. Lots of people would have been looking forward to seeing her for Nula, but missed out on tickets. What's going on? It's crazy, isn't it?
Oh my God, it's absolutely insane. It just seems to be the way that they do it now. They had if you were signed up to the fan club, you could get tickets 2 weeks ago. This time around then, they had 3 different sales yesterday.
And then people were in a queue for hours. They were like 1,000th in a queue. And then when they got to the home screen, packages like €744, the cheapest being like €256.
Yeah, the VIP ones. Yeah, that's what it. I started off, the first sale yesterday was 11 a.m. At 2 minutes past 11, it finally let me on. And I was 69,000 in the queue.
Oh my
and
God.
By the time I got down an hour and a half later to 5,000, it threw me out just to tell me that the only thing you could buy was the 743 VIP package.
Is that for one person or two? Not that it really matters.
I think it might be for two people, but it's insanity.
Yeah. And then the next
thing. It actually puts me off Taylor Swift a small bit.
I kind of was sympathetic towards her because of all the trials and tribulations about how she was exploited financially and all this kind of stuff. And then I kind of see a little bit of exploitation of her young, incredibly loyal fans, the Swifties. And it kind of is, I don't know.
I just think, I mean, a lot of her fans are tweens, you know, heading into and teenage girls and that kind of thing. And I just think it's outrageous. Like, I mean, the tickets were already really expensive. Mm. I mean, just the general tickets, I think it was like 80 something to get on the pitch.
You lucky,
and you have to be over 14. But like, if you were bringing somebody that was under 14, you'd be spending somewhere like about 125 on the tickets. They seem impossible to get. I don't know now if they're going to come up again. There's supposed to be another release date, the general release. But what annoys me then is if you go to some of these other sites that we all know the names of, so we won't mention any of them in particular, they tend to be owned by the same people.
The reselling sites. Yeah. Of course.
And do you remember they did a thing, was it a documentary that was on one of the, I'm going to say Netflix, but it might not have been Netflix, and it was about how the artists now are the people that are actually putting out to the reselling sites. That is kind of part of the deal that they get.
Now, I know people are messaging in, and like, people did message in and saying, oh, this is parents' fault. Why would you spoil your children? And blah. But that is, I get that, but that doesn't talk to the reality of the situation. It's like teenage discos. You know, parents say, well, why are they on? They shouldn't be on at all. But you're under an awful lot of pressure as a parent, for right or wrong, to try and, you know.
Well, yeah, and in fairness, for a lot of people, it was, they were saving them for Christmas.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And in that instance, it's not an outrageous amount of money to spend on, you know, obviously now you have to be financially able to spend €100 on tickets. But that's like how much things cost. I mean, I'm a bad example. I never had any money and I constantly went to concerts and I dragged my daughter along with me and we went to loads of them. But because I really like live music. I think it's an amazing experience. Yeah. And it is a nice thing to do with your kid, I have to say, if you can afford to do it.
Coldplay's coming up. They're probably going to play 4 in Croke Park.
Yeah,
they've got 2 confirmed. But then
I'd advise people don't get excited about your Coldplay tickets.
Yeah, but it's
another looking like it's going to be the same kind of
It's another convoluted system. Way of doing it. So they're doing on their website some system whereby you can get some tickets for 20, 25 quid, which is great. And then there's another, they're releasing them all in different ways all over the place. It's like really becoming a lottery now, isn't it? I don't think even if you take Tuesday off and you're ready to go with 5 devices at 10 o'clock that you really are in any way in a more advantageous position to get the tickets.
It doesn't make any sense. I don't understand how it works, to be honest, or even how many, I mean, like with the grad Taylor Swift, she was in the Aviva. There's only, what, 60,000 or something like that was in that. I don't know how you split that into 4. Like, I was 69,000, you know, 68,000, 69,000 when you went on the list, and that was only for the Friday selling. It was the same thing all the way through. So I would advise people don't be getting your hopes too high with Coldplay, because I have a feeling it's going to go the same way.
It's going to be a luck job. Yeah,
it's going to be really hard to get a hold of them.
Okay, right, okay. We are going to be speaking to someone who's trying to get tickets for the Taylor Swift concert there. All right, okay. It is the 9 till noon show. You're tuned to Michael and Fionnuala as part of That's Entertainment. Can we bottle Michael's laugh? Best ever, says a listener, which is a nice compliment, isn't
it? Wow, okay.
This Wham documentary takes most of its footage from a documentary aired on Channel 4 called Freedom.
Oh.
If you have seen the Channel 4 documentary, you'll see nothing new here on the Netflix one. But that being said, in terms of, you might not see any new material if the listener is correct, but I think it's how it's put together really can be quite important.
I didn't know that. I've never seen the Freedom one.
Has anyone... I heard it sends out the wrong message to young girls. This is the Barbie film. Some of the quotes from Ken: I'm a man with no power. Does that make me a woman?
Oh, Okay, well,
I'd be amazed if
the culture wars.
I haven't seen that now or seen any comments on that. But
I haven't either. No, but
Greta Gerwig is a known feminist. That's what her stuff like leans in.
Yeah.
And the idea of Barbie having an existential crisis, from what I can gather from the press now, obviously I haven't seen the movie, is that it's supposed to be Barbie becoming self-empowered.
Okay, right.
But I don't know.
Isha, good morning to you. How are you getting on? Hello.
Hiya.
Hi, how are you getting on? It's Greg here. You're desperately trying to get tickets yourself, aren't you, for Taylor Swift?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, I had the access code. I thought that, okay, I got the tickets. I have the tickets, sure. But then I get into the queue and, oh my God, it's mad. And for all the dates. And I was in the office and the sales were at 11 p.m., 1 p.m., 3 p.m. I started from like 10:30 in the waiting room. And then no tickets in 11 p.m. sale, no tickets in 1 p.m. I'm like, okay, this is the last chance, third time's a charm. But then nothing, nada. It was mad. It was madness looking for the tickets, literally.
Yeah, your sister's a big Swiftie fan as well. Both of yous are. She's in India and she was actually going to fly to Dublin if you could have got the tickets to watch the concert with you.
So it's my sister, actually. So I came here for my master's in 2021 and I was like, I've been in Ireland and my entire family's in India. But my sister and me, we're big Swifties. So she wanted to visit me anyways. And then I said that, oh, this is perfect timing. Like you could come for the time when Taylor Swift is here as well. And then we could look around in Ireland as well. And she's like, okay, yeah, sure. And then I say to her that, okay, I have the access code. And a lot of my friends and even her friends didn't even get the access code. I'm like, okay, maybe, you know, selected people have it, so they would have the capacity. But then, yeah, no, nothing like that.
Are you any way upset at the way the Swift team released these tickets and left them so expensive? I know you're a big Taylor Swift fan, but has that upset you at all towards her?
The thing is, so... The first thing that I'm really mad about is the access codes. Like there's literally no use of putting them in there because there's still people like fraudsters buying those tickets and then selling them for like thousands. And like I saw a ticket which was like 4,000 euros on a website and I was like, what is this? And then, yeah, I feel like nobody's going to buy the VIP tickets. They start from 371 euros and go up to 750 euros. And I don't have that money to like buy two tickets and get those, and like I really hope that they convert those tickets to like general standing, general sitting tickets, just so like people are there to like enjoy the concert. And because I was on Ticketmaster and they still have the VIP tickets available because nobody is actually buying them.
Yeah, well listen, Aisha, I wish I had tickets to hand out. Unfortunately I don't. They are like hen's teeth. I do hope though you are successful in your search for both you and your sister.
Yeah,
I'm sure looking
if anyone
has any, I'm sure that they're not going to be hard to get rid of. Thanks, Aisha. I hope you have some success in that regard. But it's getting tougher and tougher and tougher. I'm sure, but I mean, there's huge demand. When demand, Fionnuala, outstrips supply, this is where we're at. But do you think there's exploitation?
I don't understand how. I mean, like she added on an extra date, and like as they're saying there. They sold them by the fan club, first of all, if you were a fan, which I 100%, they should have the people that had signed up. I think you could sign up after her last album release. Then this time around, you could go on and try and get an early code. They had a waiting list for people. Like some people received an email to say, you haven't made the initial waiting list, the initial early purchase, but you're on a waiting list, so you may still get a code in order to early purchase.
Yeah.
You're only supposed to be able to buy 3 or 4. Like they were setting it that you could only buy a certain amount. And yet, as they're saying there, there's loads of them for sale for huge amounts of money.
It's creating a demand because back in the day, I'm not sure if they still do it now, but back in the day when I used to do a bit of work around nightclubs, the place would be empty, but you would not let people in, so the queue would get long.
Yeah, so it looked.
Do you know
like
what I mean?
Yeah,
so then everyone the goes, "Oh, wow, that's the place to go. We better join the back of that queue." Mm-hmm. But I just hope they're not doing that, particularly with the demographic of Taylor Swift's fans. Okay, listen, we'll be back with more from Michael and Fionnuala in a moment. But just to let you know, Kevin from Dunlow say Shirley from Pepsi and Shirley
Pepsi
can
Shirley.
Be seen on Gogglebox UK with her pop star husband Martin Kemp from Spandau Ballet. And apparently it's comedy gold.
Yeah, so you were doing some research, if I could call it that, off air. I mean, if you are minted, you can still go and see Taylor Swift, Michael. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy. I'm shocked and I'm like, wow.
I'm very disappointed that you will not lend me the $9,000 so that me and my 10-year-old niece can be front of stage.
Shall we really open up that can of worms for you?
Boo, Greg. Boo.
Boo, Greg. You won't lend me the €9,000 that I could bring my 10-year-old
ask
niece.
Ask Ryan Toverty, he'll lend it to you. Anyway, come here. Yeah, but so
even Ryan would have trouble paying these
prices. So you can still buy tickets,
but of them.
One standing ticket. How much was it back of the pitch?
Oh, back of the pitch was €2,000.
Only, you mean only two?
Standing ticket was €2,000 per ticket, and you know what I mean. No,
like
offense.
That is wrong.
If you're standing out, if you're standing on your own in the back of the pitch, Taylor Swift, you're
like I thought I did an interview with a TD that was saying, you know, we need to get rid of this reselling, this black market. But they're being resold legally, right? It is legally, because it is a sellout. But they're being resold legally for massive, massive amounts of money. Mm. But that's worse than ticket ads.
But the point
you know,
is...
No, as I say, it's legal, but...
My concern is, who's selling them? Because, you know, you're not supposed to be able to transfer them anymore. They're, you know, there's talk that, you need to have them on the phone that bought them and you can't even add them to your wallet anymore. You can only get them out of the... You can't get them out of your account. So, like, is there all these people setting up fake Ticketmaster accounts in order to just buy these things in order to go? I don't know. Like, they do all this supposedly.
It's clear it's not easy for the end user to sell them on. So you're all, it's a very valid point. Like, who is doing it if it's not the end user? Can't be end users.
I mean, I've tried to give my sister tickets. Or, you know the way, so you buy tickets. You buy them now, and obviously it's a whole year away. And you sort of say, oh, well, I'll get my sister the tickets or whatever. And then you're like going...
How am I going to transfer?
How am I going to transfer?
All right. We asked on Instagram at Highland Radio Donegal, by the way, give us a like. Which would you be watching at the cinema, Barbie or Oppenheimer? 67% voted Oppenheimer, 33% voted Barbie.
Right.
I suppose different demographics.
Different, yeah.
Double billet people, that's what I say.
Double billet. right, okay. In Britain, a handful of classic films have had their classification upgraded from a suitable for all you to a PG. Mild violence, threat, brief bloody images and bad language raises Watership Down's rating, while Star Trek the Motion Picture is changing because of brief, mild horror and sex references. The British Board of Film Classification says movies get reviewed whenever a distributor resubmits the film.
There you go, okay. So useless information.
You find that with some of the stuff that you watch now. I'm always shocked by some of the things old stuff
re-watching,
that you're watching.
Yeah.
And you start watching it, and I used to watch it. Obviously, you'd sit there with your kids or whatever, and you'd watch it back in the, 90s, early noughties or whatever. And now all of a sudden, you have to say yes when it's moving on to the next one because there might be sexual reference or language, or they say this is not suitable for younger viewers. I'm like, oh yeah, that used to be fine.
Yeah, it used to be fine. Yeah, society has changed. I mean, the bar has lowered and different things. Yeah, it's like even watching. Remember, I was watching Trading Places a couple of months back, and I love it, but there's a lot of stuff that wouldn't fly now in a movie of that ilk. Wouldn't fly.
Stay right where you are. Alan O'Reilly of Carlow Weather. He's departed. Donegal Shores is back home. Alan, good morning to you.
Good morning. How are you?
I am good. Great to have you with us, Alan. So for the Northwest over the weekend, what can we expect?
Well, I'm sure you've seen the rain has already arrived, and unfortunately there's plenty more of that tonight, and also tomorrow is a very dull, damp day with some heavier rain at times. So it's not a pretty Saturday, and it's not going to be a pretty start to Sunday, but the good news is Sunday afternoon should see a clearance and some good sunny spells and temperatures back up a little bit. So if you have plans for outdoors Sunday afternoon, if you're doing them over the weekend is when to do them.
All right, what's next week looking like? Still a mixed bag, Alan?
Still a very mixed bag. Monday and Tuesday, not too bad, but a risk of heavy rain moving in from the Atlantic again on Tuesday night into Wednesday. Something to keep an eye on because Wednesday could be another wet day. Little bit of uncertainty around that. If you want me to offer you some hope, some of the weather models in the very long range are showing a jet stream heading back up north with a little kink in it, which would allow some high pressure to move up from the south for the start of August. A long, long way off, but we might all need a bit of hope at this stage.
Fingers crossed, Alan. Thanks as always. Thank you for your time. Take care, Alan O'Reilly there. Not fantastic news, dependent on what you want from the weather, of course. We shan't always presume people like the sun spitting the rocks. And then when you see If I had, I'd be more worried if I'd booked a week in South Italy or Spain than a bit of rain here, if I'm honest. Okay.
Yeah.
Lots of people messaging in, or when I say lots, sorry, I should say handful of people messaging in about The Sound of Freedom. This has become one of these films that seemingly
talking point.
People feel it's being suppressed because of the messaging in it. Others saying it's got a certain message because it's being funded by certain individuals. Mm-hmm. I honestly, personally, I would never not talk about something or on a program, but see, when big issues start becoming part of just stuff that I watch for fun, it turns me off.
You disengage,
People are wondering why it's not being shown locally. I mean, why would it be shown locally? Is it highly rated?
But it's not really out yet.
Yeah, right. it probably doesn't have. I wouldn't imagine
it doesn't have a full
distribution.
Release.
Yeah, it doesn't have. I would imagine as simple as that. It just doesn't have. Not everything. Like, this was never expected to be a top-tier film. I know it surprised in America with its box office pull, but of this type of film, it wouldn't be unusual for it to have a completely different release date. So I haven't looked into that, but I'm assuming it's just the standard thing. This was not meant to be like a tentpole. It wasn't meant to be a tentpole or a big movie. It really exploded for whatever reason, and I haven't seen it yet. I'm interested. Having read up on it last week after we discussed it, I did a bit of Googling and reading up, and I was like, okay. Don't know what to make of this, but it certainly would be worth watching, and I imagine in due course it'll show up here. And again, the distribution, maybe it won't get a cinema release, maybe it'll end up going to streaming over here.
Why is it so controversial, if you know what I mean? It's like it's a Sound of Freedom is an effective and suspenseful call to action against human trafficking, yet not free of issues in its depiction of the sensitive subject matter. And as I say, there's been an absolute bomb of audience scores on it that has it at 100%, but only 39 critics reviews having it at 34%. So why is it part of the culture wars, if I can call it that?
Some of the stuff I've read, you're kind of like going to yourself, I don't think this person has seen this movie. Mm. You know the way it's in? There seem to be a lot of people that are talking about it that haven't seen it. The Cavizzi, isn't that the guy's name?
Jim Caviezel.
That plays the main character. Basically,
like a lot of the messages here are saying, why is it not being shown? Why aren't you talking about it? But they haven't seen it themselves because it's not available.
That's what I mean. Basically, the story of it is that there's an FBI agent who is one of the people that was very strong in creating what is now how the FBI work on human trafficking, and in particular children. Mm. And that's what the basic story was about. It was about how they created. It's the same idea, from what I can gather, from what I've read, having not seen it, is kind of like the manhunt idea. If you know, remember how they did that, and it was how they came up with the behavioral unit that we now see on all the TV stuff. That seems to be what the story is. There was one particular FBI guy that really, and I have to say that could not have been a pleasant job, threw himself into it, and this is what he did. People seem to be taking a political stance on it. But when you read some of the political stance on it, you really need to be reading both sides of it. Mm. As in, looking at America and kind of picking two news outlets or two, outlets that are from opposite sides.
Or reviewers with particular leanings.
Yeah, exactly. Because
the tendency is for right-wing extremists to say that the left are involved in a lot of this.
They're all left-wing extremists.
Yeah, exactly. But they're saying that they're involved in a lot of these child trafficking things.
It's like that pizza thing from the Democrats.
And they link big names to it as well.
Hey, maybe we'll get a chance to review it.
Yeah, I'd love to.
Okay, Michael, thank you so very much indeed. It's been wonderful having you on the programme as always. The same to you, Fionnuala Rabbit. And thank you all for listening over the course of the week. We're back with you on Monday. Stay tuned. John Breslin's back around the Northwest after the news at 12.